In describing the purification process of the Metzorah, the Torah in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Dalid, describes three critical ingredients which need to be collected. Etz Erez, a piece of a cedar tree, Shni Tolas, a strip of wool dyed crimson, and Ezov, a little bit of a hyssop, this type of low-growing grass. Why dafka these three things? What are they going to do? So Rashi quotes a tradition from Chazal that these three combine symbolize both the problem that got the Metzorah into the mess to begin with, as well as the antidote which will get him out of the mess. That is to say, asks the Medrash, Chazal, as Rashi quotes, "My takanto v'yitrape," what will be this person's remedy? How will he heal himself? So what was the origin of the problem, say Chazal? Well, if it's Lashon Hara, which gives you tzaras, what's the origin? What leads a person to speak ill, to gossip about other people? Gaiva, arrogance. If you think you're better than other people, then you think you have the license to gossip about them or speak negatively about them. That is symbolized by the cedar wood, the tall and mighty tree. You thought you were like a cedar. You're tall and mighty. You're arrogant. So what's the takana? What's the yisrape? How do you heal yourself, says the Medrash? Yashpil atzmo migavaso, kitolas uche ezov. You have to lower yourself, humble yourself, like the other two ingredients. The ezov, the hyssop, is the exact opposite in physical proportion to the tall and mighty cedar tree. This is a lowly plant life and low grass. And even the shni tolas, that's a little bit of a play on words, because a tola could also be referring to a worm, which Chazal understand is an allusion to the worm, which is part of the berries from which the dye is extracted to dye the wool crimson. So therefore, the combined message of the tolas and the shni tolas and the ezov is being lower yourself, humble yourself, and that's the antidote to being tall and arrogant, so to speak, like the Eitz Erez. That's the tradition that we have from Chazal. Comes along the Imre Emes, that's the Ger Rebbe, and he's quoted in a beautiful collection known as the Likutei Yehuda, a collection of Ger Divrei Torah, Ger Chassidus Divrei Torah, put out by a grandson of the Imre Emes. And he asks the following question. He says, this is a very beautiful message, but its timing seems to be off. Rashi says, what will be the takana that the person will have to be misrape, to heal himself? But the whole premise of our parsha is that this person has already been healed from the physical symptoms of the nega, and after having waited a certain amount of time and the nega went away, now he's ready to go to the Kohen and have the process of purification. So if this message is so important that he has to humble himself in order to become healed, then that should have taken place a week earlier when he still had the lesion, when he still had the nega. Now that he's gone to the Kohen and he already had the nega, he already healed himself, he just needs to get tahor. It seems to be that this lesson of how, what should he do to heal himself? It's too late. He was already healed. The timing of this message seems to be completely off. So the Imre Emes explains something very beautiful and very profound. In a chanami, it's true that this is the lesson that he needs to heal himself. But the kavana is, he says, sheyishar b'shifluso tamid. He shouldn't think that now that the nega has gone away, it's okay, he can go back to the ways of the past. When he was sitting by himself, badad yeshev, away from his family, away from the rest of the community, nothing to do but be alone with his own thoughts, he is clearly going to be humbled. He's naturally going to do tshuva. He's in crisis. It's terrible. He's going to turn to Hashem and beg for forgiveness and humble himself in repentance. However, that's easy to do in the time of crisis. That's easy to be humbled when you're in trouble. But once the refuah has come, once the tragedy has passed, once the difficulty is not in front of you anymore and you return to normal, then it's unfortunately natural that people return to the habits of the past, even if they're bad habits which got them into the mistake and into the problem, into the mess in the first place. Therefore, says the Imre Emes, dafka now, as the person is transitioning back to normal life with his family and in the community, dafka now, we say, take the shni tolas, take the ezov, humble yourself, remember what got you into the mess, and therefore now that you're healed, don't just go back to the old ways of the past, but keep this new lesson, this new moral high ground that you've achieved, this new humility which you've achieved during your crisis, keep it with you. Sheyishar b'shiflus ha'tamid, keep it with you as you are healthy and re-emerge into regular life. What a profound and important insight, because it's naturally so easy. When we're in crisis, we accept all sorts of things upon ourselves. We see these things very clearly. We want to improve ourselves. We humble ourselves. But then when the crisis passes, it's easy to go back to the old ways of the past. Says the Imre Emes, dafka, to avoid that problem, dafka after the crisis has passed, it's dafka then that we need this lesson the most, and that's why we take the hyssop and the crimson wool, dafka after the nega has already gone. In this same Sefer Likutei Yehuda, he then has another piece right afterwards, quoting the founder of Ger Chasidus, the Chedush Shehrim, his Elter Zaidi, who also explains something very beautiful and a great moral lesson about one of the other ingredients in the purification process. Because what do they do with this cedar wood and the hyssop and the wool? Well, they also have to take a bird, and they killed a bird, and they squeezed the blood of the bird into a bowl that contained water, which was specifically Mayim Chaim, water that had come from a natural spring. And it's that combination of water and blood which you use the other ingredients for to mix it all about, and then you sprinkle that onto the Metzorah. But the Chedush HaRim noticed something very peculiar. This is not the only example of Tumah we have in the Torah, and therefore we have other Tahara processes. And often they do involve water, but that water is always a mikvah. This is the only example, says the Chedush HaRim, where we have a Tahara process, which requires specifically Mayim Chaim, spring water. Why specifically and uniquely when it comes to the Metzorah do we need spring water, as opposed to any of the other examples of Tumah and Tahara in the Torah? And says the Chedush HaRim beautifully, based on the lesson that we just saw, which is that if the lesson and the antidote for getting out of becoming a Metzorah is to humble yourself, well, says the Chedush HaRim, there's a risk that a person could go to such an extreme, shemachnio mashmil es atzmo, that he could be yasich es atzmo l'rasha, v'yocho chas v'shalom lova ideze l'atzvus, v'atzlus, v'yachshev atzmo meruchak. A person could go to the opposite extreme and be filled with such shame and humble himself to such an extent that they think that they're a nothing, that they think they're a gurnished, and then they can't accomplish anything else the rest of their life. And therefore, says the Chedush HaRim, the lesson is, use Mayim Chaim, living, exhilarating, rejuvenated, reinvigorated water, living spring water that symbolizes growth and the ability to reinvent yourself and to rejuvenate yourself. You should be alive, like the spring water is flowing water, so too. You should realize, yes, you had a downfall. Yes, you made a mistake. Yes, you sinned. You had to humble yourself, but you don't have to stay stuck low. Now that you've lowered yourself and humbled yourself, you can bounce back. You can grow. You can be alive and rejuvenated like the spring water itself.